In order for the ethanol industry to grow, with or without the RFS, more infrastructure is needed. So what are we facing? Today, nearly 90,000 of the 138,000 reported gas stations are single station owners. These individuals, mostly mom and pops, own one station. They don't have the deep pockets once seen of yesteryear, and the big oil or the integrated oil companies now own less than 0.5% of retail. Fuel margins are currently, that should say, currently dropped at 3 cents a gallon. They're roughly around 14 cents a gallon today. And the average net profit in 2012 for a gas station was only $32,000. We're relying on station owners, small business owners, to install equipment to sell our product. And I think it's time for a new approach. So what's the good news? The educational efforts for petroleum marketers and retailers continue, along with the gentleman that you see at the panel today and with their colleagues around the industry. Dispenser manufacturers, both Gilbarco and Wayne seated here today, continue to make new configurations so that any retail setup can offer more ethanol and higher ethanol blends. Companies like ProTech, that you'll hear from Steve Walk, are taking that risk for the retailer. And we've seen the announcements from Murphy USA, MAPCO, and others that show us that E15 and E85 remain of interest. You've heard already multiple times about the information from Informic Economics, Iowa State, within CARD, that the RFS can be met at statutory levels with the existing infrastructure and the upcoming build-out that are already planned. With that, I'm going to introduce our first speaker, Bruce Sprague. Bruce is the product lead at Gilbarco Veeder-Root's line of flex fuel dispensers, an industry veteran in the petroleum dispensing industry. And Bruce has been instrumental in launching Gilbarco's line of E85, E25, and biodiesel-rated blending equipment. Mr. Sprague has also held various positions within Gilbarco sales and product development. And with that, help me welcome from North Carolina, Bruce Sprague.
Okay, so the Encore Flex Fuel Dispenser is the premier product line for Gilbarco Veeder-Root, and it is compatible with the UL87. UL87 is the safety specification that all gasoline dispensers are tested to, and Gilbarco has tested their dispensers to all three of these classifications. The first is the standard unit, E10, E0 to E10, which is a standard gasoline dispenser today. Then also E25, which is required in order to be able to do E15, and then the flex fuel E0 to E85 for E85 dispensers. What I want to let you know is all of Gilbarco's dispensers can be configured to meet all of these standards. And what does this do for you? It future-proofs your investment. It also provides, prevents misfueling with the multi-hose configuration, and I'll talk about that a little bit in a couple slides, where we have designed and released fuel dispenser that gives you the ability to do standard fuels as well as flex fuels with individual hoses. The first one of these is what we call our Encore 3 plus 1 plus 1 dispenser. Basically can be used in a 4-tank configuration where on the right side of the dispenser you continue to dispense the standard fuel, the standard E10 type of fuels that everyone's familiar with. And then on the left side of the dispenser, an individual hose for E85 biodiesel, or if you chose E15 in place of one of those others. It's a unique dispenser in the industry and is one that we have sold quite a few of, actually. Another version of that is a blender dispenser, where it looks basically the same on the outside. It gives you the single hose dispenser blending capability for the E10 fuels, but also allows you to take another feedstock in the ground, say E85 in this example, and blend it with 87 to also deliver E15 from an individual hose. It's what we call our dual blender technology. So in summary, I guess, what I want to say is these two products help prevent misfueling by providing the multi-hose configuration, gives you the capability to do clear signage on the dispenser, making it very obvious which hose you get which product from. It also gives you the ability to expand the marketing opportunities you have by delivering up to 5 products at an individual fueling position. And also minimizes the number of tanks needed. So if you happen to be a marketer with only 3 tanks in the ground, you can get to those 5 grades of fuel, both standard and flex fuel, pretty easily with these models. And the other benefit, and this may not be true in every location, but in a lot of locations, you have to have separate hoses for E15 and E10, E85. I know there's some latitude with that in some locales, but basically by using one of these dispensers, you eliminate any changing regulation or any changing tide with respect to that and put yourself on a solid foundation for the future.
And as you've seen previously, we will have a question-and-answer session once all 3 speakers have completed. The next individual is Patrick Yetler. He is the North American Product Manager for Retail Fuel Dispensers and Global Product Manager for Additive Fuel Dispensers at Wayne, which is now a GE Energy business. During his almost 20 years in the retail fueling business, Patrick has held various positions covering service, sales, and marketing. He periodically contributes to trade publications with his most recent work on fuel additives published in the National Petroleum News. He moved to the U.S. from Austria after completing his degree in electrical engineering, and please help me welcome Patrick.
Good morning, and thank you to Robert White and the RFA for inviting me here to speak today. I wanted to start off with trying to figure out how to work this. There you go. Really what's interesting, what we hear a lot of talk about, especially what we learned today, is where do we go next in the industry? And first we have to look, what's already out there? So I wanted to go over that and says, what is the compatibility on fuel dispensers out there today already? So Wayne's model range, and I have a year range listed here starting from 1994 to today and to the future with the Vista series and forward. At that time, there was one UL standard, that was UL 87. And that approved biofuels up to E10, 10% ethanol, right? We built our equipment to meet E15 compatibility. So any dispenser, any Wayne dispenser today will be compatible with E15. Well, not you are listed at that time because such a standard wasn't available. So that goes back to over 20 years, which is the average life cycle of a dispenser, somewhere from 15 to 20 years. So any dispenser today with fire marshal approval, we have warranted in the past to meet E15 standards. So overall, based on number of fuel stations out there and average site or dispenser count per site, we estimate there's about 220 to 250,000 dispensers out there that, with fire marshal approval, local approval, you would be able to use E15. We also have a whole lineup of E85 UL 87AE 85 listed dispenser models, mainly Ovation dispenser, which is the main product in the United States. We have about 10 different models. Each of them can be made available to run or be compatible with E85 fuels. That means E0 through E85, and you can blend various combinations thereof. One of our popular products for the ethanol market is the dual-hose blender, where you can take 3 inputs and blend. One hose, you have your flex fuel grades, that's ethanol content of 15% or higher, and on the other hose, you'd have your regular fuels, which would be up to E15. The EPA allows sharing of the hose up to E15 on the same hose. There are certain regulations in place where you have to put a decal on the dispenser saying you have to dispense a minimum of 4 gallons from that hose or have a dedicated dispenser at your site that does not go above E10. Along with that, all our flex fuel dispensers come with our industry-leading X-Flow meter, which has high tolerance against meter drift, providing very accurate metering, where we offer a 4-year calibration warranty on that meter. So here's various combinations I wanted to highlight that you can adjust or program on the fly at your site with our dual hose dispenser. You can start off with offering just various ethanol percentages with just two tanks, a E85 and regular unleaded. Or you can also bring in a 91 octane and an 87 octane along with an E85 and blend various combinations thereof, again providing for maximum flexibility. So currently, all of our dispensers I mentioned earlier are listed to the E10 or UL87 standard, with some models or with all of our Ovation product line available listed to E85. And we also have in the process of obtaining E25 certification for lower cost to market because of the less stringent requirements. We will offer the E25 option on all Ovation and Helix models going forward in 2014, and we will make retrofit kits available to dispensers model back to 3 Vista, which dates back to 1998. So that entire model line will be available to be retrofitted to up to UL E25 compatibility. Next, I wanted to share with you some upcoming configurations that we're working on. A 4-meter Ovation, which allows even greater flexibility, by bringing in the fourth product, different combinations of hose outlets allow you to either blend biodiesels with diesel or stay on the ethanol side. One configuration where 3-meter inputs being routed to one hose outlet, allowing you to blend 87, 89, 93, and E15. One of the configurations that we hear from our customers is that there's some interest in maybe dropping the mid-grade because it's a very low-sold fuel and substituting the mid-grade with E15 to drive higher market share. One interesting configuration is a 3-meter input with a double dual blend valve, which allows you to generate E85 and E20, the flex fuel type of fuels from one hose, and have 87, E15, and 93 on the other hose like depicted here in this. And lastly, we'll also have a 4-input with a double blend valve configuration, which allows the use of subgrades. This is a request we've had based on market availability to put subgrade in the ground, which you have to blend up with a 91 octane fuel to get to an 87 octane level, but it provides, again, more flexibility. So the future station layout, as we see it, is we're going to have still some diesel. We provide ethanol fuels on every hose, seeing E15 being driven towards more of a common fuel. Let's talk about the hose sharing and our approach to focusing on having E15 on the sharing with your traditional fuels. The single largest maintenance cost on the fuel forecourt is hanging hardware. So by adding more hoses, you drive the cost on the retailer side on the maintenance cost. So as Robert pointed out, the average station makes $32,000 a year. There's no interest in driving up maintenance costs going forward. So we really need to drive back towards as fewest hoses as possible. And that dates back. The blender pump was developed and launched in the U.S. in the 1950s. There was two main drivers. One of them is fewer unique tanks in the ground for less environmental impact, and the second was the reduced maintenance cost on your hanging hardware. So with that, I thank you.
Thanks,
Well, in just a matter of minutes, I think we've heard that no matter what your station layout is, they have something for you. The one thing that the two gentlemen didn't mention, that I want to make sure everyone in the room knows. There's not a large warehouse facility in Austin, Texas, or in North Carolina where there are acres of dispensers sitting around waiting for someone to call their name. Both of these companies build their dispensers after they're ordered. I've rode the assembly lines at both facilities, and it's quite remarkable. But I think it's important to note that these are custom orders, and that the idea that retailers cannot get what they want through dispensers, especially if they're buying new, is very fabricated. Our final speaker today before we get to the question and answer session is an old friend of mine, Steve Walk with ProTech Fuel Management. If you haven't heard of ProTech before, you haven't followed the E85 world very closely. Steve is vertically involved with all aspects of the ethanol fuel supply, from ethanol production facilities to distribution, down to the retail level, kind of what I call the downstream efforts. He is currently the project manager for over 200 E85 stations and various construction projects. I encourage you to read Steve Walk's comments to the EPA on what his opinion was of EPA's reduction of the RFS. You'll find it a good read. With that, please help me welcome Steve Walk.
Good morning. I appreciate you allowing me to speak. What I want to talk about today really is get a handle as to who ProTech Fuel is, what we do, comment a little bit about the ethanol industry, kind of the state of the industry, and then where I see the growth and the fantastic opportunity that there is. I don't think my clicker's working. Oh. ProTech Fuel, we're based out of Florida. We're really an energy management and alternative fuels company. We specialize in ethanol blending, supply, logistics, station construction, rebranding and branding for biofuels. But make no mistake, we are an E85 supporter. We promote E85, focused in on E85. But alongside that, we really try to help make the wholesale distribution company and retailer more successful. And so we have some ancillary products that we help from a traditional fuel financial management programs, whether it's discounted OPIS pricing or diesel pricing and different programs like that. Our customer makeup really devises or comprises of high volume retailers to mom and pops to government agencies to universities and private fleets and everything in between. From an E15 or E85 station perspective, we really strive to make the whole project and the whole process as seamless and stressless as possible. We piece together the station locations, the equipment, the needs of blending and supply, and we really package it together. What's not shown on this particular slide is we also really do help quite a bit on the public relations, social media, website brochures, having a training program for station clerks at the actual retail station to talk about ethanol, talk about E85, talk about what a flex fuel vehicle is, because at the end of the day, it's really that interaction with the customer, the general public, at that station that really drives volumes. We found over history that the more the clerk and the manager can interact with the customers at that decision point, really yields to much, much greater success. Our target state or our target market really is the South, the Southeast, the East Coast. From a sales perspective, from a supply perspective, we obviously pull our ethanol from mostly the Midwest. We do have some advanced ethanol and cellulosic plants intermixed here and there, and our demand exceeds everything they can produce, so we pull it in from other sources. But when doing a station, whether it's a new construction or a conversion, there's a variety of steps that kind of go into play. And in order to have the station be successful, the first step really is the station survey, looking at the demographics of the FFVs, the fleets, the traffic patterns, taking a look at what it needs from an equipment perspective, figuring out the marketing campaign, what will work in Miami may not work in Baltimore, for example, just from a customer outreach perspective. And then really working the last section of this, really working at the pricing of the fuel and figuring out the logistics and how we can price it to the retailer and ultimately to the public so that it's on a consistent discounted basis to gasoline. And when you break it all the way down, there's really a five-step approach, the first being taking a look at, and we spend a lot of time on just the market feasibility of a station location. Again, what are the demographics? What are the volumes of the existing station from a gasoline perspective? What can we do from E85, and what's the sales feasibility to make it successful? And really, that drives everything to when we take a look at the equipment and what we need to do to get it from A to B, whether it's a conversion or a new dispenser or a new tank or maybe pulling out diesel or whatever the case may be, that'll determine, from that feasibility, that'll determine how much capital investment we should put into a project. And ultimately, when you look at the capital and where the money and how the project is going to get paid for, it's a combination of a number of things. A lot of times, the retailer will just pay for it themselves. Sometimes Protex paid for it on behalf of the retailer for a fuel agreement. We've been fortunate enough to have some grants to maybe offset some costs. It's just a combination of things, but I think from an ethanol industry perspective, certainly from an E15 or E85 perspective, we need to look more downstream. We need to invest in our own industry, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. From a fuel perspective, obviously, the more, like we talked, we heard earlier, the more it's discounted to gasoline, the more volumes they'll get sent through the station, and it's also that consistent discount to gasoline. So there's times during the year where perhaps Protec might sell it at a loss to us just to maintain that discount, because it's all customers are creatures of habit, and so you need to have that price differential pretty much consistent throughout the course of the year. And after we figure out all the station logistics or the fuel logistics and the station costs and if it makes sense, then we essentially execute the project. Protec acts as the GM. I'll hire a PEI company. Oftentimes, I'll be working side by side with the construction company, and there's a lot of fun stories I could share as to some of the bizarre things I've seen that go on in retail stations while I'm there with dispensers apart, parts laying out on the floor. Just bizarre stories. But I really enjoy that because it gives me the opportunity to work with the station clerk and the manager face-to-face and educate them. Here's what customers are going to say. Here's what they're going to ask. Here's how you respond to them. Here's how you promote E85 and ethanol in general. And it's a phenomenal opportunity. As far as the RFS, and I've heard a lot yesterday and again this morning about the RFS, the RIN impact, and kind of where the industry is sitting today, there's tremendous talk about it. But my feeling on the ethanol industry, even in thinking about the RFS, is that as an industry, we need to realize that we need to change our thinking a little bit. The way I look at it, there's fundamentally four main stakeholders that are pertinent to this, and that is the producer or the ethanol producer, the distributor or wholesaler, the station owner, and then obviously the customer. Out of these four, in my mind, the most important, what's going to drive everything, is the customer. And sometimes I think as an industry, we lose sight of that. I think sometimes we just forget about the customer. You know, there's this talk about, oh, ethanol's bad, or some of these other publicity things that are out there. But at the end of the day, the customer still wants value. They still want to be able to purchase their E85. There's a desire for E85. Retailers want to promote E85. They want to put it in. They really want to differentiate themselves from high-volume retailers, and they're hungry for it. When you look at kind of the roadblocks or what's preventing them, it's really just more of a financial side as to what does it take from an equipment perspective to get it from A to B, and that's really where, from an ethanol growth perspective, where some assistance and some help can be done. From kind of a state of the E85 industry, I think it's a phenomenal opportunity. I actually am more excited now than even I was last year before the whole RIN insanity. And the reason I say that is what's happening in the retail marketplace is, from a retailer's perspective, they're looking and they're hungry to differentiate themselves from the high-volume retailers. They're looking to increase their foot traffic. They're having an impact as to vehicles getting better miles per gallon. They need to see what can they do to add more product lines to their retail stations. So E85, E15 is a perfect fit. Customers, they still want vehicle performance. And when I talk to them, again, when I'm working on stations, they still want vehicle performance. They want to help the environment, and they want to save money at the pump. In my opinion, E85 accomplishes all that, as long as it's priced right at the station. But going forward, again, we need to support the downstream. The window is a great window, but we need to support it a little bit more. The startup cost to do a conversion at a station or put in a dispenser is not that great when compared to some other alternative fuels. I think it's a great, great addition. I'm having retailers in certain parts of the country actually pulling out premium mid-grade type fuels and just putting in E85 and regular gasoline. Just because the sales of premium and mid-grade aren't there. So they're looking to see what they can do to differentiate them. And if you want to see E15 grow, to be quite honest, from a retail perspective, if you want to see E15 grow, start supporting E85 100%, and you'll see growth in E15 like you've never seen before. In my opinion, I think going and forcing it down people's throat, kind of forgetting about the consumer or the customer, it may not be the best approach. If you really want to see E15 explode, support the E85, put in the E85 station. You'll see the station blend the E85 with the gasoline at the station. Gasoline fundamentally is one of the most irrational purchasing patterns that the customer, people will drive across town to save a penny a gallon. When you do the economics of E15 and gasoline at a station, like we saw earlier as far as how it gets blended, you'll save anywhere from 6 to 10 cents per gallon. It replaced the mid-grade or replace the premium, and retailers are craving this type of thing. So in summary, just kind of remember the customer. The customer will drive everything, including E85 and E15. As an industry, we need to really step back and take a look at the four stakeholders. How can we get these people working more in sync? Is there ways we can financially put some programs together, whether it's from an investment of capital in the equipment or from pricing of fuel supply? And having it more discounted to gasoline, and just really support the downstream. If we do the E15 and support the E85, in my opinion, the demand for ethanol will, again, grow a lot, so much so that it'll exceed any of the supply that's being produced, as long as the downstream support is there.